My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Well, Christmas came a little early around our house this time around. As I'm sporting a new pair of tennis shoes. my needs being as simple as they are. We were at a resale shop, a place that sells clothes that have been previously worn. And I've always had this kind of a funny thing about that. It's like I don't know how I feel about wearing somebody else's clothes. I don't know why. They're clean. There's just, I don't know, a funny thing. I'm not a germaphobe per se, although I am pretty careful about such things. But it is weird to have my feet in somebody else's shoes. As the old adage goes, you don't know somebody until you walk a mile in their shoes. What if their shoes don't fit? But these do, and they're fine. They're clean. They've been barely worn. And they were worth it. So, this is my first foray into that world. And I know people will sit there and listen and go, you should always do it that way. You should always buy secondhand clothes. Although it just seems a bit weird to do that. I don't know that I would buy secondhand underpants. I would rather not, never mind. I would rather just not wear underpants at all. Especially, that's just it. I don't think that they would. I didn't see if this place did that sort of thing. They probably don't. I would think that there would be some sort of, law that would prevent such a thing from happening. I don't know. Would you even want to sell your old drawers? I don't know. If an old man dies, what happens to his clothes? They wind up at thrift stores, I suppose. But, the socks, the underpants, all that stuff has to go out. Especially if the poor bastard was wearing like tidy whities, of which I don't wear, by the way. Let's go ahead and solve that question right now. Anybody that had any notion as to what I don't know why I'm even in this discussion, but why that even would come up, now you know. Nah, I'm a boxer man myself, or freeballing, as the case may be, because I'm not going to wear somebody else's drawers. I'm going to have to draw the line there. Maybe somebody else's shirt. Of course, hand-me-downs is a thing, but that's family. That's different. Somebody else's pants, okay, maybe. Shoes, I don't know. I got socks on, so I'm having that, I'm having that moment that I'm just going to deal with it, and it should be okay. So I'll be fine. But things could always be far worse and far more difficult for folks. Look at Bill Cosby, for example. Boy, this is something that's really played out, and it's interesting to look at it on the point of being in the media business, as I am, because you find yourself reading stories from various places. If you're that kind of a personality on the radio or television, you can't just rely on one source for all of your news and information. I've said it before. I mean, there's so much bias in the media that you really have to kind of look at all the angles before you can kind of draw your own conclusion. Although in this particular instance, it's kind of hard to avoid it. It is everywhere. Somewhere, Tiger Woods is breathing a sigh of relief that somebody else is now going through what apparently Dr. Cosby is going through. And having, read a lot of the things that are out there, and I've read a good bit of it, and it's not really a story I particularly am fond of. It's just that you really cannot escape it. Bill Cosby, of course, being a big personality in my youth, with his records that he had, his some very funny stuff. One of the greatest specials ever aired on pay television, like HBO or Cinemax or Showtime, was himself. Remember that? Bill Cosby himself. Great, great program. He did such a wonderful job with it. And it was nice to see him do that. And then a couple of years now, or a year ago, perhaps, he had strung a deal with Comedy Central and released a newer thing of him on stage, him seated in a chair doing his thing. And to be honest with you, it was okay. It wasn't, it was standard Cosby stuff. Some of it was funny. A lot of it was, different. And of course, all of the times that he would show up on late night television, it was almost you had to kind of see what was going on, and he would play the host like a fiddle, and really work with him and have some fun. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's an entertainer. That's what he does. And he's gotten caught with his pants down. Literally. As of the recording of this, some 16 women have come forward alleging their complaints against him. Most of them have stated on the record that Cosby apparently drugged them and took advantage of them, including one young lady who claimed to be 16 at the time. Said she woke up with no memory of what had happened the night before after he plied her with a couple of cocktails, or as the now famous red eye. You know what a red eye is, don't you? It's a Bloody Mary made with beer. I mean, you still put the vodka and the tomato juice in, but you top off the glass with some beer. That's a red eye. The Cosby is a red eye with a roofie in it, apparently. I don't know that you'll get that in any bars that I know of, although there are some places where you've got to be careful that somebody might slip something into your drink. I'm not here to make light of the scenario of rape as it is being alleged. It is, it's an unfortunate scenario if any of this tends to be true. Typically, where there's smoke, there's fire. But when there's a pile on, if you will, all these people coming forward now saying that they have been abused by Dr. Cosby, then you got to look at it. You got to consider it. Although, let's be honest, all of this is none of our business. It's not your business. It's not my business. I didn't sleep with the man, and most of you haven't. There again, I'm not really quite sure who all is listening to this. So if you did have an encounter with the cause, my apologies, and you could probably go ahead and turn it off now. Because I'm not really here to convict the man in the public eye, nor defend him. It's not really my job to do so. But I have to wonder, and I want to look at all the sides of this, I have to wonder to a certain degree why after some, 45 years, these stories are starting to filter through. Now, yes, in the past, it did come up in 1975, I think. Maybe in the 80s, he was accused of having to pay hush money. And as a result of the trial that came out of that, a civil trial, he admitted on the witness stand that he had, in fact, had an affair with an individual. But beyond that, you know, you think that just kind of goes away, because ever since then, of course, with the monster NBC television show that he had on, the two shows that he did, really, and then, of course, the Fat Albert thing, the Jell-O pudding thing. I mean, he was all the work that he did out on the road. He was a very well-known and still respected guy. He won the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award. You know, where they get to go to the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., and they get the medal from the president for it's like our equivalent of knighting somebody. Sir William Cosby. But now he just won the award not long ago, several years ago, as, you know, being a part of the national treasure of the United States, although we tend to give that award out to foreigners as well, because I know Paul McCartney has it, as does all the members of Led Zeppelin. Anyway, when this situation does, you know, present itself, and you've got a guy like Bill Cosby who is as famous as he is, and all of a sudden, at his age, he's 77 now, 78 years of age, and he's in this situation. 16 women, one of which is Lou Ferrigno's wife. And she was posing for Playboy at the time, apparently. I mean, it's before Lou was involved. But it does give you pause to think that, okay, why are we just now hearing about this? It's not like he did this last week or 2 months ago. Maybe he did. But the fact of the matter is, over the course of his illustrious career, there are people who claim that these instances took place. And yet we are just now hearing about it. I read an article not long ago about a man that used to work with him at NBC, and he claimed that Cosby would often give him cash for him to go to the bank and get money orders or cashier's checks and pay off some of these women to as much as $2,000 and $3,000 a month each. He would put them up in apartments, according to this guy. And the despicable nature of his behavior drove this guy to quit working at NBC. Now, of course, the Cosby attorneys are going, well, this guy's just seeking his 15 minutes of fame. He's trying to cash in on all of this. Be that as it may, he was an executive at NBC Television, and he's now 90. I don't think he's really too terribly concerned about gathering any type of fame over any of this. Frankly, it seems sort of silly. But when you're talking about these things, why are these women just now coming out about this? Because here's the thing, you can't really charge the man with rape, even though that's what they're alleging. Because there's no physical proof anymore. Are they going to sue him in some civil court? I don't know that they can. But they are doing their damnedest to ruin the man. And he's, like it or not, you know, whether he did it or not, put a black eye on his career, his legacy. This is a guy who is very, very well known. But when this sort of thing happens, it's hard to defend yourself unless you come right out and just say, look, I didn't do any of this. These bitches are crazy. And he doesn't say that. In fact, he's done the exact opposite. He has been quiet. He hasn't said anything officially. And when confronted, as noted in a recent AP, Associated Press interview, he was trying to answer some questions, and the question did come up about this sort of thing. And Cosby, being Cosby and very businesslike, was sitting there with his wife, Camille. And Cosby said, I thought we were under the impression that we were not going to answer these questions. And asked the reporter to not release any of that conversation. And of course they didn't until just recently, which is really kind of a dick move on the part of the Associated Press, but this is a hot story. People are talking about it. I'm talking about it right now. You're listening to this. Glenn Beck, the human hand job that is Glenn Beck, is already saying that Cosby's the victim. He's the one that's being raped. He's being raped by the media. I don't know that I buy that either. When you live and work in the public spotlight, you become fairly heavily scrutinized, and you have to remember that everywhere you go, people are going to notice you. The price of freedom, the price of, not freedom, but the price of celebrity, I should say, is your lack of freedom in certain respects. It's kind of hard to just load up and head on over to the grocery store, although you do. I mean, you have to live your life. It's not always a very, you have to think in advance before you go to a restaurant or to a movie theater, if you even go at all. The price of fame is the loss of some of your freedom, some of your privacy, if you will. And as a result of that, you wind up being scrutinized heavily. That's why the tabloids exist. The whole point of the tabloid deal, the paparazzi, they get paid per photograph, and they find that the ones that are the most reluctant to show up in those magazines are the ones that command the highest amount of money for a photograph. If somebody's constantly avoiding them, then their price goes up. Or you can go the route of some classy guy like Tom Hanks. I say classy, I've never met him. I mean, he could be a complete bastard for all we know, but there's a rather famous story of him when the paparazzi was hanging around his house, he walked out with several cups of coffee and gave it to the photographers and said, "Hey, fellas, how y'all doing? Y'all have any questions? I'm here to answer them. Want to take my picture? I'm right here." Well, as a result, he became too accessible and no real command for it. Because they know that the public who buys this garbage are going to be interested in seeing the reclusive people. Guys like Marlon Brando were paparazzi gold. Because he was, in his latter years, was enormous physically and a bit of a recluse and a bit of a strange fellow. So that's why they would have the unflattering pictures in there like that. But if you'll notice, and I was at a store not long ago where these magazines are sold, there has been some mention of Cosby, of course, but it's not as, as tabloidy as you would think it would be. And I'm sure that, by the time this particular episode is released, that'll be a completely different story. But you have to wonder, when these things happen to people like Dr. Cosby, how do you survive that kind of thing? You just come out and say it? You come out and say, "Man, I'm a bastard. I drugged women. I had sex with them against their will." Look, for comedians, there is no such thing as a good rape joke. I know there's probably some comedians out there that may listen to this and go, "Oh, you're sadly mistaken." And that may be the case. Under very, very, very rare conditions could a rape joke actually be pulled off. I think it's been done. It's no point in getting into that per se, but, Mel Brooks was really the last one to actually kind of pull it off to a certain extent. And even then, you kind of cringe a little bit, even in today's day and age, because rape is not about sex. It's about power. This guy I mentioned to you a little while ago that used to work with him at NBC claimed that Cosby thought of himself as a genius and was far better than everybody else. Therefore, it was about power. He was the number one commodity at NBC, and apparently it went to his head. It would go to anybody's head, I think. When you're top of the pile like that, you have to be conscious of it. But at the same time, you got to put it in its proper spot. Let's be honest here. Bill Cosby is an actor and comedian. He's an entertainer. He's not somebody who is out to save humanity from itself. Like any entertainer, these things have to be considered. Now, as far as these women, that have, I don't know how many of them are true. We may never know. As I mentioned, 16 of these women. Now, how many of them are claiming it for their own fame? That's something you have to consider. Because we've seen it before. Anna Nicole Smith, remember the whole thing when she died? Who was the father of the baby? And my God, everybody was piling onto that. There was every guy on the planet. In fact, there was the guy who was Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband claimed that he was the father of this child. It was all these people that were hurting for money. Because Anna Nicole Smith wound up with a shitload of money because of her ex-husband, the old man. Remember him? And that old man's family was disputing the will, and she wound up going to the Supreme Court with the thing and still managed to win. And therefore, this child, this little daughter of hers, was now the trust fund baby, was now worth billions of dollars. So everybody wanted a piece of the pie, see? So they all said the same thing. Well, no, actually, I'm the father of that baby. I actually said it on the air at the other station that I used to work with back when all that was happening. I made a joke about it myself because it was just comical at the time. But this is not comical. This Cosby thing is not. It's rape. And there are some sick people out there. Yes, I get that. And are there people out there who claim to be victims just so they can jump into this for their own bit of fame? Could be. I would hope that wasn't the case. Because I know when you talk to women about rape, it is an awful thing. There is nothing, nothing light about it. You can't be, you can't just toss that off as being a, as, you know, a thing that, oh, well, you know what happened. No. But that's kind of what's happening here. It just seems like some of these women out here are saying, well, yeah, it happened to me, but I didn't say anything. Why didn't you say anything? What kind of power does one have over you if you can, if that individual breaks the law and does something that is morally wrong and criminal? What prevents you from going forward and talking to the police or talking to somebody? I mean, this is stuff that has to land on your conscience at some point in time. Is there sympathy from other people that have gone through this? Maybe. But this culture of jumping on to this and claiming, well, you know, he raped me too. And it does lend itself to that other joke that, you know, that I could even come forward and say, well, yeah, he raped me as well. But that really wouldn't be very funny, and it doesn't take, you know, it doesn't take the spotlight, of course, aside from just being the douchebag that I would be for making such a comment. Because obviously, there has to be at least one victim in all of this. And sorry, Mr. Glenn Beck, it's not Mr. Cosby himself. I know it's probably going to be an awkward Thanksgiving dinner around the Cosby home. But then again, we don't know what Camille knows. We don't know what she thinks. And it's like every other politician or celebrity that gets caught in these scenarios, for the most part, there's always that moment of contrition where they stand there in the light of the media and they make those statements of apology. And it's thinly veiled. And they use lines, they use those patented lines, press release stuff. I need to reevaluate my life. I've made some horrible decisions. I'm not proud of what I've done, that kind of thing. But they never really come right out and say it now, do they? Tiger Woods never did. But of course, he doesn't really owe us an apology either, does he? He doesn't owe me anything. Neither does Dr. Cosby. He doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't owe me an explanation. The news media that keeps bringing this up, and yes, I know, I apologize. I'm the one that's doing it. I'm just talking about it because, well, it's a thing. It's happening. And there are other facets to this, and that's what I'm getting at. But that's just it. Bill Cosby does not owe you an explanation. I'm not defending him. If he owes anybody anything, it's to those women. We wouldn't have heard about this had it not been for the fact that it was Bill Cosby. Because you do realize that everywhere around this world right now, of course, worse things are happening. But this sort of thing is still continuing on in other people's lives. But we don't hear about them because we don't know these people. We don't care about these people. We don't have any vested interest in these people. A rather famous story that's been knocking around Memphis for a while is this dude who has fathered some 26 children from, like, I don't know, 18 different women. Dude. Man, he's slinging it like a pro. But at the same time, when you hear these stories, you just scratch your head and you wonder, at one point, did any of the other women think it was like the 12th, 13th, 14th woman who thought this was an okay thing to get involved with this guy? He's a douchebag. He's no Bill Cosby. See, it's different. When you're Bill Cosby and you're coming through the late 60s, early 70s, had a hit TV show with Robert Culp, I Spy, several comedy albums, won some Grammys, won a few Emmys already for that show, and then later goes on into the Fat Albert stuff and the stuff he did for NBC. It's a big deal. So when we hear of stories of people like Bill Cosby, who we have, I guess, vested some emotional time into, you hate to hear these things happen. And as a result, you become kind of addicted to the whole story. You're caught up in it. And as unfortunate as the case may be, how all this will pan out, I guess we don't really know. We may never know all the details. I don't know that I want to know all the details. In fact, this is probably all I'm really going to get into it, unless there's, you know, some massive development that comes out of this. If he comes forward and says something, or worse, we'll never know. Because it's really none of our business now, is it? Just some thoughts. It's not a pleasant topic, I know, but it's something that it bears thinking about. Food for thought, if you will. At one point, does a crime cease to become a crime and become a public spectacle? Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland. This is one of those things that there would be no need for them to have it on their shelves because it would only be the occasional hump like me that would come in and want to buy it. That person behind the register is judging you. They really are. I don't particularly have a problem with that sort of thing, but they do. They do judge you. They do look at you funny. They're trying to figure out exactly what it is that you're going to order. Personally, I think corn belongs on my dinner plate and not in my gas tank. Unless you're racing. I know they use a lot of ethanol when they race, and that's all pure ethanol, and those cars are built for that, but mine is not. Back in the day, fine, Walmart was this deal. But look, you know, every major corporation that has turned into some massive outfit ultimately finds their demise. They come and go. They become dinosaurs, and then some big rock, usually from the quartz, puts everybody out of their misery with that whole deal.
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
All right, kids, that's it for this episode. Coming up, of course, we got the holidays right here upon us, and this show will still continue on, so you'll always have this. Consider this your little stocking stuffer in your device, if you'd like. You know, if you're new to the program, first of all, welcome to it. I know this topic was a little on the heavy side. It's usually not quite like this, but we've got some fun stuff coming along the way. Big plans as we make our. I know I keep talking about it like a broken record here, but it's so much fun to do it, and I'm glad that you have come aboard this thing. And of course, all of the episodes can be found at our iTunes. Yep, that's right. They're all right there at iTunes. You can download them there and put them onto your phone or your device or whatever you'd like. You can also find them at the home of this podcast, which is rickcheddar.blogspot.com. All of them are there, as well as the page that actually hosts it, which is rickcheddar.podbean.com. It's all right there for you. You can download it, save it, do something with it. Tell your friends about it. I appreciate it if you would. It means a lot when that happens. That's really the best way to support it. So go on out there and do that for me, if you would, please. If you love it, great. If you don't like it, you know, sorry, we're not for everybody. That's the way it goes. Our anniversary show is coming up in February. We do have some plans for that kind of in the works. It depends on how we're going to put it all together. I've been in talks with some of our folks on trying to do something pretty big for that. I mean, this is a big deal to me. I know there's a lot of podcasts that have been around a lot longer, but, you know, making that first year, 52 consistent episodes. Consistent, I don't know. Consistent in suck, I don't know. Consistent in the fact that they're there, yeah, we've done that. And we've still been sort of feeling our oats, and we've changed it quite a bit from, you know, from the first episode all the way to this one. So we're trying to do something big and trying to do something fun with it, and we'll figure it out as we get a little bit closer, and I'll keep you posted when that happens as well. So, look, I'm going to tear it up here and be done, get on out of here, and let you on with your day, time, evening, whatever it is that you are when you're listening to it. Thank you so much for being a part of it. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.